Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast on TalkSport. You may also be listening on TalkSport 2 or across on TalkSport's YouTube channel. Either way, it's myself and Steve Harmison looking back at day one of the second Ashes test at Adelaide. Plenty going on as ever, plenty of intrigue, plenty to talk about in terms of team selection, and there was a few big moments on the field as well. All to look back on over the next 20 minutes or so. You are listening to the Following On podcast. Well, if you're listening to the show or watching it, you will, I'm sure, already know that it was another day where England's team selection is going to come under scrutiny. Their fielding will come under scrutiny. And Australia's batting is just going to be held up as possibly something to follow. Australia ending the day 221 for two. Labuschagne, 95 not out. Steve Smith, 18 not out. A fine partnership for the second wicket. Much like in the first test match, actually, this time of 172 between Labuschagne and Warner, really taking the game away from England. England will be left to rue. Two huge drops in the field. On 21, Jos Buttler putting down a chance for Labuschagne. And then again, with the lights on and the new ball, second new ball in the hand of Jimmy Anderson. A real straightforward opportunity that was again grasped. So Labuschagne still there at stumps. England didn't take late wickets. And Australia will feel the game is in their grasp. Plenty to discuss. In and amongst that, of course, Steve Smith, skipper. Who would have thought that would ever happen again, especially in an Ashes match? Well, it has today for reasons that we will go into, but I'm sure you are aware. So plenty to get stuck into with myself and Steve Harmison.
Story of the day.
So what an eventful day it was, Harmy. But let's just get straight to something that was mentioned many, many times by the Australian TV commentators today. Where was Mark Wood?
Oh, that's $1 million question. I thought that let's before we sort of have a go at the selection thing. The bowlers stuck to their test and bowl well. Areas the bowl. For the bowlers they are, apart from the only time Labuschagne really looked uncomfortable was against Ben Stokes, middle of the afternoon, dropped on 20, had him bouncing around. All of a sudden, if you've got another one like that who bowls more aggressive line, who's naturally bowls more aggressive line and is comfortable doing that job, then I think this could have been a whole different context. Contest when it comes to where the game stands at this moment in time. We've got lining length bowlers, we've got containing bowlers, and we bowled 89 overs and we're 221 for two, which is contained Australia. But we're trying to get back into the Ashes. And that, for me, like we said, Cricket Collective, all week, that you need something different. You haven't got a mystery spinner. You haven't got a spinner that you can trust and that you believe you can land it. You've got to have somebody who can make something happen out of nothing. Ben Stokes nearly did. and you've got a bloke who's just been rested after bowling 25 overs in 3 days, that selection just doesn't make sense. We can keep going on and on and on, and hindsight is not a wonderful thing when we've been saying it for 3 days beforehand. But when you see what's just happened, who is picking this team? That really worries me. The comments that came out of the dressing room at the end of that test match, and I know we've got to speak in the world of 24/7 sports news, and you've got pundits like me and a few other people who are pulling everything they say to bits. But some decisions are just ridiculous. And that is one. Yeah, that is one. 221 for two. We've bowled containing bowlers. That's what we went. That was the plan we were going to have four months ago when we picked the squad to go to Australia without Ben Stokes. We now go to Australia with Ben Stokes and ask him to bowl a barrage of bouncers, having not played for 6 months, six months. And you've got a bloke who you've rested, who's bowled 25 overs in 3 days, who would have been, boy, he would have been effective in that game. And that, for me, could be the difference where England are either getting back into the Ashes or they potentially could lose this Ashes 4 or 5-0. You get Labuschagne early in this game, and England have got a chance of really putting a big dent in Australia. And he's now 95 not out of 275 balls by leaving, playing balls on its merit, which were good balls by Anderson, Wokes, Broad and Robinson. And then when anybody strayed offline, tried to bowl the short ball, which were not comfortable at 125, 130 kilometres an hour, he put them away for four. And that innings there could be the difference between them getting a big score and dictating when they bowl under lights, potentially going 2-0 up. And it just still baffles me, that selection.
Could have been so different though, couldn't it? I mean, those two drops by Joss Butler, he pulled off a really, really good catch. I think they went a little bit too crazy about how good it was earlier in the day, but it was a really good catch. Flung his arm out, got it stuck. Good catch, right? Describe the two drops, because the first one, maybe he was deceived by the ball coming off the glove rather than the bat. The pace of the ball possibly kind of looked like he could have got two hands to it. I described it on air like he went with it with the wrong hand. Just was an ugly, body position was all over the place. But the drop at the end of the day, I mean, that's up there with, not quite Mike Gatting in India in 80, whatever it was, but it was so bad that when I saw it, I was actually live on air when it happened. And I had to wait for the replay because I couldn't believe that I'd seen what I'd seen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He's dropped two catches. I think the second one we've got to forget about at this minute in time on how much that's costing, because at the minute it hasn't cost that much. It was a poor effort and it was a drop catch, and I'll come on to it in a second. The first drop catch he should have caught. He's quite flat-footed. Early-ish in the day, not that long into the day. You're talking about, he's only 21, Labuschagne.
He was 35th over.
Yeah, it's not that long into the day.
He was on 21.
Yeah, it's not that long into the day. It's not as though it was like 60. It's not as though it was like 65 overs into the day in a 30-degree heat. I mean, he made a very, very good catch where he went both foot, bang. Left foot, right foot, bang. Spring off the right foot. Dive full length. Caught a great catch off Stuart Broad early in the day. And for a wicketkeeper, what a confidence booster that is. And then all of a sudden, later on, 35 overs, not a great deal of time in the day, middle of the middle session. He hasn't gone, he's going the other way. So he's got to go left foot, right foot, then spring left foot. And he didn't really go left foot, right foot. He didn't touch his left foot down. He went right foot. And then he tried to go again and didn't really go. And then that probably cost him the time to get closer to the ball to then get his hands in a position to take the catch comfortably. And he was snatching for it and reaching for it. So that was a poor, it was down leg side. And a keeper will tell you that is a catch they should take, especially at international level. he should be taking it. Whether you can argue with his international standing wicketkeeper because of his batting, that's a different argument altogether. That cost England a lot, that did. You know, Labuschagne's 21, he goes on and bats another 60 overs, and he's standing in between us, bowling them out for 280, 300, to then getting 450. The second one, well, he'll see that again a million times in his sleep tonight. He will. Yeah, you know, I've been in many that situation many, many times where, as a big fast bowler, you drop a catch and it's an easy one and you think, how on earth have I dropped that? And he has. It's basically potentially too easy that he just goes in nicely. Thank you very much. There you go, Joe Root, with the runs away, saying thank you. Well, we're getting Labuschagne, and we've stopped somebody getting 100. Like I said before, time will tell on how much that cost us. From Joss' point of view, it just looked as though he snatched at it. If you watch it again, just as the ball was getting to his gloves, his hands went to the ball as opposed to the ball coming to him. Yeah, the nice regulation where, thank you very much, soft hands, see you later, Marnus Labuschagne. But just as he got to the ball, he closed his hands and he snatched at it. And when he did that, it didn't go in. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't cost England too much in the morning, because if it does, this kid bats big. He loves a big score. You know, he 199, I think he's got. I think already got in this calendar year. He doesn't get many little hundreds, Marnus Labuschagne. And if he goes on, he's just gone past 2,000 test runs. He's got 12 50s in 20 matches. Yeah, this guy bats big. And if he does, then, it's like I said before, it could be the difference between England being back in this series or Australia going 2-0 up.
Anderson, the bowler for that second drop, Stokes with the first. How did you assess Broad and Anderson? Broad's 150th test cap, of course. Anderson back. I thought Broad was the pick of the bowlers today. I know Stokes employed short pitch bowling, and he looked like he was a bowler who had a game in his legs, as opposed to the first test match. It looked a little bit more like Stokes that we know. So Stokes bowled well, I thought. A touch one dimensional, but seemed to work. Labuschagne, I've not seen Labuschagne look that uncomfortable. Well, apart from when Jofra Archer put him on his backside at Lord's in 2019. But I thought Broad's first spell, that was the spell of an attack leader. And when he came back again, he beat Labuschagne a couple of times. You know, maybe again, guilty of bowling a fraction too short with both new balls. But how did you assess the return of Broad and Anderson?
I thought the bowl very, very well. I did. I thought England bowled very, very well. I can't sit here and criticise anything that England did. You mentioned Stokes one dimensional. England were one dimensional. The whole bowl attack, it was one dimensional in a way that we put the ball in an area in and around or just above our stump. We didn't give them much to drive. We didn't give them much short and loose stuff apart from Stokes' one-dimensional game plan, which was to bowl bounces. I thought our whole attack was the bowlers bowled very, very similar to each other, apart from, obviously, Ben Stokes. I think that's the conundrum of the selection, of non-selection of Mark Wood. We had four bowlers doing a very similar job. And when you look at it, if we take our catches, that might have worked. That might have worked. If we get Labuschagne for 21, it might have worked. I thought Broad was excellent first spell. I thought he hit the deck hard. He hit the ground running. His presence was big. His body language was great. Jimmy was Jimmy. Jimmy put the ball in and around that off stump. They don't want to be driven. You know, what we've got to remember is this is a very good Adelaide pitch. A very good Adelaide pitch. It nipped a little bit, but it's a good pitch. And I think if you had tried to go that little bit fuller, especially against Smith and especially against Warner and Labuschagne, I think you would have gotten murdered. I think you would have stood there and just belted it, because you could trust the ball or the bounce of the ball. And I think you could hit through the line of the ball. Short boundary, square of the wicket. I think if England bowl any fuller than what they did, I think they would have gotten driven a lot. And I think that then all of a sudden your fielders start to spread out, slips aren't in play as much. So I think Broughton Anderson bowl really well on that surface. It just comes back to the selection of what I said earlier. If you don't play Wokes, you weaken the batting. But if you don't play Wokes or Robinson, you have a bowler who can bowl 92 mile an hour, on average 88 mile an hour, like he did, Mark Wood did in the first test. And you've got two bowlers who can bowl the way Stokes did. And you have three bowlers that bowl the way Broughton Anderson bowl in that containing line and length. And you create chances, you create things happening. And unless Ben Stokes had the ball in his hand, bowling halfway down the wicket, we looked very nice, but we didn't look that threatening. And I think that is largely down. And I'm not, that's no way of having a go at the bowlers. That was largely down to the ball and the surface and the heat and the way Australia played. I thought Broughton Anderson were very good. I thought Wokes was very good. I thought Robinson and Patches was good, but I thought he bowled the shortest of the four. And I thought he looked as though he was the tiredest of the four after what had happened in Brisbane. Root turned it a little bit. And no matter what the commentators on the TV are saying, they're saying, yeah, should have played a spinner. Our spinners aren't good enough. And Joe Root is a better spinner than Jack Leach and Don Best in Australian conditions of containing and holding, in my opinion. I still would have played five seamers.
And in terms of Australia, you know, that partnership between Labuschagne and Warner, there's similarities there. 156 in the first innings and, of course, first test. And, of course, it should have been 51 for two if that Stokes wicket of Warner had stood. 172 run partnership for the second wicket. Now, that first test, Warner was so fortunate. You know, the missed run out, the drop catch, the no ball bowled. On this occasion, though, it was a huge surprise when he was out. I thought that was as good as I've seen from Warner. I know he hasn't played any test cricket for a year, but that was as good as I've seen from Warner in a long, long time. He looked completely at one with his game. You know, he's experienced. He knew he just had to see through. You know, Australia scored 45 runs in that first session. They scored 11 runs, I think, in the first 10 overs. And that's the first time they've done that. Although the first hour of play, you know, they haven't. That's the least amount of runs they've scored in the first hour of play at home in 20 years. At no point did you feel that Warner was bothered by that. Labuschagne looked very skittish before the lunch break, got better as it went on, or whatever it's called in day nighters. But for Warner, I thought, bloody hell, he looks good today, really, really good. And as I say, huge surprise when he was actually out.
Yeah, it was probably a man who was desperate to get to that 100 after what had happened in Brisbane. I thought that's the best. I said this on breakfast really early this morning. I think it was around about 7:45 this morning that I fear for England bowlers here, because I think David Warner is in for an afternoon. I think he looked that good. He didn't look as though he was getting beat outside off stump. He was playing inside the line of the ball when they were bowling in and around that off stump. He was leaving the ball nicely. He waited on the bad ball. You know, Robinson bowled a couple of short balls outside off stump and he crashed them for four. I think Wokes did. I think it took him something like 32 balls to get off the mark. So you when you look at that, you could see he was watchful, he was determined. And then at the end there, he just looked as though he got a bit frantic when he was trying to get to 100. He was 91, he pulled the ball when there was about six fielders on the leg side. He pulled it in the air over the top of the sort of inner field and he managed to get it in between the two fielders at deep square leg and deep mid wicket. And I thought when he did that, I thought that's it. He's got 150 here because he's going to get to 100. He's going to run around, take his hat off. He's going to be jumping around and then he's going to come out crash, bang, wallop 2020 style and really put the pressure on the England bowlers. And I thought it was a great catch by Broad. Mm. You know, Broad did extra cover and he belted it. He nearly put Broad into the, I think it's the chapel stand. I think he put him into the chapel stand because it was a good catch by Big Stewart. So, like, all in all, I think Warner's looked very, very good so far in the Ashes. I think he's been ready for this Ashes because all the talk about Broad and Anderson and he's the last Ashes tour and is he finished? Well, you know, we always said class is permanent, and I thought Warner was brilliant again today. And there's ominous signs going forward because he enjoys batting at Melbourne, and he goes home to Sydney for the fourth Test match. So we're 90 in Brisbane, 90 in Adelaide. He'd be desperate to get to 100. I thought it was a well constructed innings by somebody who has been questioned, but never doubted in my mind that the kid is a class above when it comes to international Test match batting. He's ranked number 6th in the world, I think, in the ICC rankings. And when you look at it, England's batting unit, we're asking England's batting unit to try and get back into the Ashes in this first innings of the Test match in Adelaide, on which will be a good pitch. And Australia have got number 1, number 3 and number 6 in the ICC world rankings. And we've got one Test match 100 other than our captain in 2021. I think that tells you what the difference between both batting units are at this minute in time. And Warner was brilliant again today.
Moment of the day.
Well, there's no doubt what the moment of the day was today. Did you ever think you'd see Steve Smith captain Australia again and in an Ashes Test match? I mean, it took some seriously ridiculous situation to get there, but him walking out in Pat Cummins' jacket, I mean, I didn't see the conversation between Root and Smith when they saw each other, but I imagine there would have been a smile between the two, and Root would have been forgiven, saying, "What are you doing here? I never thought I'd see you out here again for the toss."
Yeah, it was quite a bizarre moment. It was like, who's going to captain the team? Well, actually, who fits in this blazer to go out and toss the coin? And Steve Smith being captain from slip. I was waiting for that. I thought that might have happened. I thought there was no way that Warner could have it. I actually thought Labuschagne might have come out and done the toss. Or, you know, maybe Mitchell Starc, because the blazer fit him the best. I'm actually pleased, you know. I'm pleased Steve Smith came out and captained Australia, because hopefully we make mistakes in life. We all make mistakes in life. And that guy paid for it. He was given a 2-match ICC ban. 2-match. And he missed a year's cricket, Test match cricket, humiliation of sitting in front of the world with his family behind him, as well as having that on his CV of cheating. And it was, we got to call it what it was in South Africa. But I think people are deserve second chances. I think we have to live in a world where people deserve second chances. And I think at this minute in time, what's happening with the world cricket, and I can't look too far away from being in Northumberland, what's happening in Yorkshire, people deserve second chances in life. And I think that guy paid the penalty, and whether it's right or wrong to be captain or not, he was the right man in that 11-man unit to captain last minute, when Pat Cummins couldn't play. So as much as I'd never thought it would happen as quick as what it has done, hopefully for the world that people can move on and Steve Smith can move on. Now he's actually done the job again, but I thought it was 2005 all over again. I really did. I thought 2005 all over again. And I was just waiting for Steve Smith to go, right, we'll bowl first on the flattest wicket in Australia. And then that would have capped it off, because to see, obviously, Glenn McGrath on the TV screen when I got up this morning talking about Pat Cummins, I thought, you know what? It's a bit like when you got carried off on the golf cart in Edgbaston all them years ago. Joe Root, come on, you win the toss. England bat first, get 400 and a deer, and the Ashes is back on. But unfortunately, Steve Smith didn't do what Ricky Ponton did, which was bowl first on a flat wicket, and his team backed him up. But I'd imagine Cricket Australia, I tell you what, it would have been interesting, John, if this was a day game and the game started at 10 o'clock Australia time, because that's all happened through the night. I think this day-night game has just bought us Cricket Australia probably 4 or 5 hours to make not only the right decision, but the best interest in health and everything like that, because I'd imagine there'd have been some twitchy backsides in Cricket Australia's offices to know whether it was right for him to play, right for him not to play. Does he quarantine through South Australia's health union? I think there'd have been some frantic conversations. And I think because the game started at 2:30 in the afternoon, think that maybe's bought Cricket Australia some time.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay then, Harmy. First session is crucial and all that. But a score of 221 for two, it's not disastrous for England, is it? You've got to get rid of Labuschagne and Smith early. You've got to forget the fact that Naser has got an average batting average in the mid-20s, I think. I mean, Australia do bat deeper now.
Yeah.
England just got to take wickets. It's as simple as that. How many do you think they can give up? How many? 400? I mean, essentially, yeah, they're going to be batting in the worst part of the day, of course, and bowling in the worst part of the day because it's going to be 38 degrees. But let's be optimistic. What can they give up here?
I think 450. 450 in England are still in the game. 450, they're still in the game. And I say that because I think day-night games can go fast forward. I say that because day-night games, a little bit like in Asia, it can go fast forward very, very quickly. Australia get away from England tomorrow morning and then get 450. I don't think it's all doom and gloom. England will have some difficult passages to bat, and then they'll have a day three, good weather, good wicket still, to get somewhere close in around 450. And then it's a spell of a lifetime from a broader Anderson if they get that to go and bowl. A team's going to get bowled for this game to finish in a victory. A team's going to get bowled out for 150, 125, 150, 175, something like that, under the lights, because they're going to lose five for not very many. England have just got to hope that they're in touch and distance of Australia, and they're the ones that bowl Australia out third innings for that to then chase to win the game. That's how a game finishes. I see a game finishing under the lights in these next four days that's left of it. What normally happens on days where you've bowled really well to contain, the next morning, because you've not looked like getting a wicket, but things haven't gone for you. Three wickets go in a crack, bang, bang, bang. So England come out tomorrow and get three wickets in a crack. All of a sudden, Australia are 300 for six. Then all of a sudden, you're thinking, well, that 450 turns into 275. And now it's an in-game score where we potentially could get a lead. This is me thinking outside, not looking at England's batting unit, because they're not telling me they can get 400 England's batting unit. But that's what I think England's game plan has got to be. Stick to the same game methods that they have today. A little bit of luck goes their way and Australia could lose three wickets quickly. All of a sudden, it's a score in England's favour. And then the hard work starts with the batting. But for a result to be done here, I think somebody's going to get bowled out for under 175, under lights. And England's just got to hope that that is Australia third innings. I mean, it gives England a chance to get back into the series.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow to find out exactly what does take place. The action, if you want to follow it on TalkSport, begins at 4 a.m. Harmy will be appearing on Breakfast throughout. And yeah, we'll be back on the following on podcast or on TalkSport 2 or on social media. But thanks for listening to Following On.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.